All right. Let's go do this. So we've heard these stories, and that's what it is. The things that my people up here are sharing. That Alex and Brad and Janae, I think that they're sharing testimonies. Testimony is a church word, But I mean, if you guys have, if lately I know there's been some big high profile court cases that have been happening recently, stuff like that. And testimony is also, it's also a court kind of word, to testify or to give a testimony. These are interesting words, because what they mean is it means a person giving an account of what has happened. That's what a testimony is. That's what it means to testify, on somebody's behalf in a court of law, in a church. You give account of what's happened. So today I want to talk about this word testify. I want to talk how it relates to this back to school boot camp, because it's something that you and I, we need to do. It's something we need to get comfortable with. It's something that needs to become a part of our life, because it's something that God's called us to do. It's something that God's called us to make a part of the way we do life. So let's do this. If you guys got your word, I want you to go ahead and turn to Romans 10:14 as we pray. So if you guys don't have your word, then bow your heads and pray with me. And if you guys do, go ahead and flip Romans 10:14, because they were talking about back to school boot camp, communicating the truth. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your graciousness. Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you for the word, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that Jesus is in us, as is your spirit, Father God. And Lord, we thank you that you cause us who are once dead to be alive. So, Father, help us to live life alive. Help us, Father God, have a fire burning inside of our stomach, Father God. Have us to have, Lord, cause us to have, Father, rivers of living water flowing out of us, God, that we can provide warmth and protection, and God, that we can provide life and passion, and God, that we can provide healing to those around us, Father God. So Lord, tonight I pray that you would stir us up, and Lord, you put words inside of us that are meant to get outside of us. So Father, tonight we need you more than we ever have before. Jesus, we need to know you. Holy Spirit, we need your power. And Father, we need your heart. So Father, tonight I pray that you would speak to us through this book you call the Bible, your word, your love letter to us. God, allow it and cause it to become life and alive in us. Father God, help us understand it, that not one person would leave this place confused, but Lord, each and every one of us would leave knowing what you've called us to do. So Father, we thank you. We worship you. And God, as we always do, Father, we pray for each and every other youth ministry in the Inland Empire and around the world, God, that's preaching the word to young people. God, Emmanuel Baptist, Wildwood, Father God, whether it's Trinity, Lord God, or San Marino Community, Father, Ecclesia, God, regardless of their denomination, if they're talking about you, Jesus, and cracking open your word, God, we ask that you bless them, because we recognize that we're all on the same side, doing the same thing, getting people to hear and live by the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, Father, and everybody in the house said, amen. Romans 10:14. Go ahead, put it up there. Bam! Says this. Are you guys there yet? Yeah, you guys are saying it because it's up on the board. That's why you're saying it. Cheaters. All right, let's go get this. Romans 10:14. I want to go ahead and get it right here because I know it's up there, but I want it here too. Romans 10:14. The Bible says this. It says, how then shall they? They is everybody who's not here. If they are not in this church right now or in a church, then they are a they. Okay? Because you are a you, and you are hearing what the they should be hearing. Get it? Got it? Okay. So the they that are not here need to hear what the this is that we're talking about. Okay? So, that's 16. How then shall they call on him? The him, capital H, is Jesus. Every time it's capital H with a him, it's Jesus. Is Jesus or God? It says, how then shall they call on him, Jesus, in whom they, remember that they were not here, believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, look at your toes. If you don't see them, then wiggle them inside your shoes so you can see them. See those? You got, let me see. Did anybody paint their toenails? Come on, you got to paint your nails. Pink? Ooh, fancy. Dang, spicy pink. We got a little bit of glitter on there too, huh? Oh, you going crazy, brother. Okay, it says this. How beautiful. Oh, man. How beautiful are the what? Your feet. Oh, she has glitter. You guys must be sharing the same. Oh, my gosh. How beautiful are the feet of those who what? I need some help there. Preach it, that's right. How beautiful are the feet of those who Thank you. Thank you, Terry. Okay, is it preach the gospel of peace who bring glad tidings of good things? It says how beautiful are the feet. And I mean, of all things to be beautiful, most people are not really into feet. Does anybody hate feet in here? Anybody hate feet? Who loves feet? Anybody love feet? You're freaks. You're all, no. No, I actually, as a side note, I have beautiful feet. People don't see them very often, but I really do have cute feet. Anyway, I know, but it says this, and I don't know if it's because I'm preaching the gospel. I don't know, maybe that's what it is. If you have ugly feet, then you need to start talking about Jesus, and he'll make you have beautiful feet. That's what the Bible says right here. You have ugly feet, they have calluses and corns, then you ain't talking about Jesus, okay? That's right. I think that's what the Bible says. Anyway, no, that's what it says. How beautiful the feet. Why? Not because you have feet, but because the feet are what takes them to the people who are the they who are not here. The Bible says this. It says that this is, if you are a Christian, if you know the capital H him, then this is your job. It says, how will they preach unless they're sent? Well, let me tell you this right now. You are sent. This is your job. If you are hearing my voice, if you have Jesus inside of your heart, this is your job. No, not the pastor's job. No, not the adult's job. This is your job. Whose job? This is your job. Officially, you are sent. You are sent to what? To? Is the pastor supposed to be the only one preaching? Who is supposed to be preaching? Who is preaching this today? Janae, Brad, and Alex, and then Chris was here, and then Lauren, and then Vico, and they were all preaching because they were proclaiming the word. If you were singing today, if you were worshiping today, then you were preaching. You may not have known it, but you were a preacher. So if you were singing, you may not have, you have already had practice preaching. You didn't know that, but you were a preacher. So preacher. Now, it's easy to do that here in church. But see, I don't know if you noticed, but the they are not here. Otherwise, they would be in us. So we need to go to the they that are not here to talk about the him who is here. So we need to take the him to the they outside these walls. Get it? I know, I'm trying to go slow here. See, you've been sent, not here, because then you wouldn't be sent, you'd be here. You're sent to leave this place to go preach the gospel. See, that is one of the most, I mean, we're talking about back school boot camp, getting you ready for school, because you may not realize this. I know we mentioned it last week, but you, wherever you go and there is a they, someone who doesn't have Jesus, someone who is depressed, someone who has a hard time, someone whose family is going through difficult things, someone who doesn't have answers, someone who just needs a hug, someone who is broken in their body, in their spirit, in their emotions, in their friendships, in their relationships, someone who is alone is a person in need of the gospel. And the gospel is simply good news. And if you got Jesus, then you have the capital G, capital N, good news. And you need to bring that out. You need to bring it out. So our life should be consistently a life of presenting good news. We read it last week, Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go preach to every creature everywhere. Every creature everywhere. Jesus leaves nothing, no stone unturned. So that is our job, to go and start talking about Jesus. See, it doesn't matter. Maybe you can't. Maybe you're too scared. Maybe you're too shy to come up on a pulpit or a stage. And that's okay, because you don't need to have a pulpit or a stage to preach. All you need is someone to listen, to speak to. That's all you need. You don't need a platform or a pulpit. If you have a friend, if you have a neighbor, if you have an owner of a dog that you walk on a biweekly basis, okay, and that does not know Jesus or who has a hurt in their life, then you are a perfect candidate to be a preacher, to be someone who presents the good news. That's all it means. The preacher doesn't have to spit and holler and get sweaty and nasty and grungy. They don't need to have 15 million Bible verses memorized. A preacher, all they need to do is talk about the good news, and that means that you're preaching. Okay, you don't need to even be loud. You can be quiet and soft and sweet and give lots of hugs. And you know what? And you, as long as you're presenting the good news of Jesus Christ, you are preaching. See, today people shared their story, the way their life was before Jesus, the way their life was when Jesus came in, and the life after Jesus, or their life before they were healed, or received the answer to their prayer, when they received that answer to their prayer, and now where they are because of it. You see, that's what it means to share a story. It's as simple as that. Look, you know, if you know your own life story, if you have been paying attention to the past 15, 16 years of your life, to yourself, if you've been paying attention to yourself, then you know your story. You know what you've been through. You know the secret hurts. You know the joys, the pains, you know the pleasures. You know what happened before Jesus, and you know what happened when you met Jesus, and you know what happened after Jesus. So you know how to give your testimony, because all you need to do is tell your story. All you need to tell your story. You know, Pastor Richard, right? I got saved as a teenager between my 8th and 9th grade year. And if you guys have your Bibles, turn to Acts 26 chapter. But you know, my story is not in there. Don't worry. I'm not that old. But I know I'm all... And Pastor Richard said... I got saved a billion years ago, it seems like. Gosh, so old. Anyway, in between my 8th and 9th grade year. And I don't know, some of you guys probably heard my story before, but I just want to share it. I'll share the annotated version for you guys, the short version. So anyway, so right before I went to high school, I went to G. What up, San G? Anyway, thank you. I know, that was weak. That was weak. I mean, at least one person has to go to San G in this place. Weak. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Weak. Whatever. I don't want to hear about Rev. Shut it down. Shut it down. Whatever. No riots, please. Otherwise, because that is in the Bible. Anyway, the riots. Anyway, so I got saved, right? And this was right around the time where I had a nervous breakdown. Literally, my parents were having a hard time. You know, my parents, you know, their divorce process went through like years of ups and downs, and it was just really difficult. My girlfriend was giving me huge problems. My friends were turning on me left and right, and I was just being bullied and all these kind of things. So like in my 8th grade year, I just snapped. I just snapped. I had a nervous breakdown. I was like violent in school, went a little crazy. Literally, everybody saw it. It's super embarrassing. And I had to see a psychiatrist and stuff like that. I mean, it was like really trips. And I just snapped. And then I started going to church. And it was from that point in my life where therapy and this and that and these books and nothing helped until I got my life introduced to Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was even right to the point of writing depressing, just really bad. It was just bad. Let me tell you, it was bad. And then I began to come to church, and I was introduced to a man named Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ began to get a hold of my life. And every bit of depression and insecurity, and you would not believe how shy I was, and all these different things in my life. And God began to mold and form me into who he created me to be. And he healed me from all these things. And it's kind of funny because everybody talks about depression and stuff like that today. And, you know, I don't know if there's people in this place who need to be set free from depression, but today is your day to know that joy and wholeness comes from Christ. And it doesn't come from a man or a woman. It doesn't come from a boy. It doesn't come from approval of your parents, but it comes from Jesus Christ. And if you're in this place, I'm going to tell you this. From Pastor Richard, over 15 years ago, I was introduced to God. It changed my life. And I wasn't perfect, and I made a lot of stupid decisions. But I'll tell you this, I never fell off track. Never fell off track. Got involved with church. Got involved with the plan of God in my life. My parents eventually split, broke up with that girlfriend. I'll tell you, my friends, you know, my friends and my family were against the decision. I was told I was brainwashed, and I told I was this and that, and they even threw a C word in, the cult word, you know, and all these crazy things. And I don't think I'm in a cult. I guess if I was, I wouldn't know. But no, but trust me, you're not. This is not a cult, okay? If it was, we'd lock the doors. Dave, lock the doors. Just kidding. No, it's not a very funny joke. Sorry, don't podcast this. So I all these things, even in my own household, I was the only person that went to church. Oh, I was the only person that went to church. And God got a hold of my life and began to change everything around. And today, I'm the youth pastor of the youth ministry I got saved in. Talk about trip. I have an amazing family with two amazing kids. My daughter just told me the other day, she said, Daddy, God makes me happy. I know. And her favorite song she wants to play on the radio all the time is a praise and worship song. And my son, he doesn't say things, he just grunts a lot, but I'm sure they're grunts for Jesus, you know. And the family that didn't go to church and the family that was calling me these names is now saved. I mean, literally, my family, one by one, especially over the past year or two, began to come to church and give their hearts to the Lord. And I'm going to tell you this, that was my life before Jesus was nothing but dark clouds and get me out of this place until I met who God was. And now my life is not perfect, but I'll tell you this, I don't even know if I'd be alive were it not for Jesus Christ. And that's after 15 years of serving him. See, that's my story. That I just preached to you the gospel. See, the Apostle Paul, wouldn't he talk about it? He'd say, this is my gospel. This is not your gospel. This is not just the gospel, but it is my gospel. Why? Because God changed his life. Because Jesus got a hold of his life. And see, you can say this is the Bible and we serve Jesus and we serve God. But you know, it needs to get to the point to where you say, no. It's not just Jesus and God, but this is my Jesus. This is my God. This is my church. This is my gospel. Because you know, I know that God changed Joseph's life and he changed Paul's life and Peter's life. And I know he changed that life, that one chick in the Bible. But let me tell you this. It's not just in here. I'm going to tell you this. It's not just in here, but it's alive because what was in here and what Jesus did on the cross in here is not just in a book, it's in my life because it changed me. And because I was one way, but now I am another way. But because one day I wanted to kill myself and now I can't wait to wake up the next morning because I know God has something good in store for me. And it goes from being the gospel to it goes being my gospel. And if you do not yet have my gospel, you need to go home tonight and begin to talk to Jesus. Or maybe you missed it when I asked people to raise their hands because, you know, you need to get to the point to where this is my gospel. And, you know, I can read it in a book, but it's not just stuck in these pages, but it's something I begin to live each and every day. And every day may not be raindrops and Tinkerbell fairy dust, but I'll tell you this, when the world begins to rain poop and caca on me, I'm going to tell you every piece of poop and every piece of caca, my gospel, my God, my Jesus, my Bible tells me that God is going to turn it to fertilizer and make a garden out of my cock-a-doo-doo mess. Paul the Apostle begins to say this long script. I got a billion scriptures here and all this highlighted stuff, but I'm only going to get to the beginning because there's too much good stuff in this place. That's right. Someone need to come around for seconds. This food's so good. The food is in the Word of God. The Word is referred to as food in the Bible. Anyway, if you didn't catch that, I understand. Some of us don't know the word as well as the others. But you're learning. Acts 26, I'm going to read you 30. Oh my gosh, 30. Yes, 30 verses in the next, I don't know how many seconds. Don't time me because I might miss it. But I'm going to read you, and this whole thing is, actually, let me just read it up here. Okay. It's a quick setup is Paul the Apostle has been in jail, and he's been in jail for years. He's getting shuffled around in the system from prison to prison. People don't know what to do with him, but they want to kill him. Why? Because he's preaching the gospel. But every time he gets shuffled around somebody else, they're like, well, I don't know. Should we kill him? No, I don't think we should. But what about this? And he's this and that. So nobody can figure out what to do with him. So all of a sudden, he's talking to like a senator, okay, named Festus. And one of the higher ups, they call him King Agrippa, comes. And Festus and Agrippa are friends. And the king says to the senator, he says, well, you know, let's see what this guy has to say. I'd like to hear what he's being sentenced for. I like to see what you guys have kept him for years for. So all of a sudden, he's sitting down with his wife and Festus, and they bring Paul in, and he has chains, and they say, Paul, what's the deal? What do they have you in for? So all of a sudden, so Agrippa said to Paul, you may speak in your defense. So Paul gestured with his hand, and he started his defense. He began to what? Testify. Brother began to what? Preach. Brother began to what? Tell my gospel. He said, I am fortunate, King Agrippa. Guy's in jail. I'm fortunate, King Agrippa, that you are the one hearing my defense today against all these accusations made by these what Jewish leaders. Next one, he says, for I know that you're an expert on all the Jewish customs and controversies. Now please listen to me patiently. He's being kind of polite up front. He says, as the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people in Jerusalem. He was a Pharisee. He knew everything there was to know about being a Jew. He says, if you would admit it, they knew that I have been a member of the Pharisees, the strictest sect of our religion. He was like a priest or a pastor. Next one. He says, now I'm on trial. Why? Because of my hope in the fulfillment, fulfillment of God's promise made to our ancestors. That's Jesus on the cross, risen from the grave. In fact, that is why the 12 tribes of Israel zealously worship God night and day. That's why they share in the same hope that I have. Yet in your majesty, they accuse me for having what a hope. Since when did having hope send a man to jail? Why does it seem incredible to any of you that God can raise the dead? I think that's what he did in my life. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus of Nazareth. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. I authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers, Christians, there to be sent to what prison? I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. He says, many times I had them punished in the synagogues, that was the church of the day, to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down to foreign cities. He says, one day I was on such a mission to chase people down to Damascus. was armed with the authority of the commission of the leading priests. See, he just told his whole life story before Jesus. My life was all about killing Christians, punishing people, and doing bad things, pointing fingers at everybody else. That's what my life was. And about noon on the way to Damascus, Your Majesty, as I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic. That was the language of the day. He said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord?" I asked. And the Lord replied, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting." We saw his life before Jesus, and now we see he met Jesus. Maybe you, in this place, rose your hand and walked forward. Maybe you were praying in your bed. Room at night not too long ago, and this is where you met Jesus in your heart, where he changed you. He says this, now "Saul, get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. You are to tell the world that you have seen me, and I will show you in the future." Next one, "And I will rescue you both from your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles." Next one, "To open their eyes so they may turn from the darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive forgiveness of their sins and be given a place among God's people who are set apart by faith in me." So, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. It's life after Jesus. He had a purpose, vision, plan for his life. He had something to do. And it wasn't a mistake or an accident. It wasn't a screw up or a mess up. But he was a man with a job. Next one. "I preached first those in Damascus, then Jerusalem, throughout Judea, the Gentiles, that they repent of their sins, turn to God, prove that they have changed by the good things they do. Some Jews arrested me at the temple preaching this, and they tried to kill me, but God protected me right up to this present time to testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah, Jesus, would suffer, be first arise from the dead, and on this way announced God's light to the Jews and the Gentiles next alike." Suddenly Festus shouted, he said, "Paul, you're insane! Too much study has made you crazy!" And then Paul replied, "I'm not insane. You're the crazy one. Most excellent Festus, what I am saying is the sober truth. And King Agrippa, the higher up, you know about these things. I speak boldly, and I am sure these events are all familiar, because these things were not done in a corner. They were the talk of the town. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets?" Brother, giving an altar call now. "Do you believe in the prophets like I know you do?" Agrippa interrupted him. He said, "Do you think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Brother testified. Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both of you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains, of course, because who wants to go to jail? Not me." Then the king, Governor Bernice, and all the others stood and left. So Paul testified. Jesus in Luke 14 said, "I'm come to proclaim the good news, to bring liberty to the captives, to bind up the broken heart." He said, "Look, this is what it is. You just need to share your story. You don't need to know all the deep theology. It helps and it's good. You don't need to know. You just need to know God did this for me. It's true. And he can do it for you. That's the starting point. And if you can get that down, then you can go and you can preach and you can teach. And, you know, not everybody's listening, because, look, Festus said, "You're crazy." And he rejected him, like some of your friends have done and will do. Some people want to hear more. Like Agrippa said, "Paul, what you're saying, are you trying to convert me? Do you want to talk about this some more?" And others are ready and they'll believe. See, your job is to testify. Your job is to share the word. Something short, something deep, something long, I don't know. You know your story, though, and God's given you the story, because God has written your story to reach other people who have a story just like yours. Testify. All it means to testify is to share what you've seen and witnessed in your life. And look, if you only have the before God, then it's about time you move on with your story and you leave it behind and you get your life hooked up with who Jesus is. See, look, I'm waiting. I'm desiring to hear your stories. And more than me, the people around you need to hear them. So if you're in this place and you need to preach, then you need to start preaching. Don't preach to me necessarily, but you need to find someone who needs to hear your story and let them know. Look, Jesus, there is, you know, we say a joke here at this church because we're so loud. We say, if you want to find us in heaven, you'll find us in a loud section of heaven. That's the joke, you know. Truth is, there is no quiet section in heaven. Because in heaven, people are talking about how good God is. So if you feel like you're living in a hell in your world right now, then you need to start acting like you're in heaven and talking about Jesus. Because when you talk about Jesus, when you begin to make your life about Jesus Christ, there's no room for hell in your life. There's no room for confusion. There's only room for all that God brings. Because you're filling your space with who God is. So you are a preacher. You don't need a pulpit. You just need a they. So you need to find who they are and show them who he is with a capital H. Who's ready to preach? Because you know Pastor Richard's just crazy enough to let somebody up in this place preach. You guys get something from God tonight? Let's give him praise. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go talk to somebody about Jesus now.